So again, let's start from Daf Kuf Yud Amid Aleph. Let's start from Kaisi Karin, four lines from the bottom. Kaisi Karin. We learned in the Mishnah Tudas. We learned in the Mishnah that Kaisi Karin, one is not allowed to drink on Shabbos. If we go back to the Mishnah Daf Kuf Tes Amid Aleph, no Kuf Ches, the Mishnah said about a Kaisi Karin. So what did the Mishnah say? Let's read the words of the Mishnah again to be precise. Kuftes Omid Beis. Kandaf Kuftes Omid Beis, we had in the Mishnah of the Halacha that Kol Ha'ichlin Ha'ichl Adam L'Refua V'chol HaMashkin Shaisa Chutz Mimei Dikolim V'Koisi Karin V'bnei Shehen L'Yeroika. You're not allowed to drink a Kaisi Karin, because a Kaisi Karin is only drunk for the purpose of refuah. Okay, that is a halacha that is said in the Mishnah, clear as day. Along comes the Gemara now, on Daf Kuf Yud Amid Aleph, towards the bottom, Kaisi Karin, my Kaisi Karin. What is this Kaisi Karin that it says in the Mishnah you are not allowed to drink on Shabbos? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, leisei miskal zuzah dekumah de'alexandris, you shall bring a miskal, means a weight of a zuz, of kuma alexandris, kuma is gum.
I'm going to tell you the formula.
Right, telling you what,
tell you what it's used for.
So the Mishnah says it's used for liyoraikin. The Mishnah tells what it's used for.
That's sterility. Somebody's
going to use No. That's a side effect.
Okay.
Kais ikarin means roots. Ikarin does not mean the oikar. It means ikarin means literally.
That's its ingredients.
Ingredients. No. So here we're giving the ingredients. What are the ingredients? What are the roots? No. The Mishnah says what it's used for. That we don't have to worry about. The Mishnah is kais mimeshen liyoraika. Jaundice.
Of jaundice.
The Mishnah on Daf Kuf Tes Amid Beis explicitly says it's used for jaundice, and it's only used for jaundice. Medlitz nikola heyitz for a food. Now, what is it? What are the ingredients? My koisi karin, the Gemara says, Omar Yochanan, leisei, you bring miskal, you bring a miskal, the weight of zuza, kuma, a coin of kuma is gum, Alexander, from, I guess, Latalia Shal Mishraim, or miskal, the weight.
It says here, sap.
True, right. Gum. What I say? I'm sorry. Gum. Guma is gum, which comes from a tree, the sap of a tree. How much? A very small amount. The amount that can be weighed, the weight that is equal to a coin. A coin. Miskal, the weight of a zuza, of kum of gum, that's found in the city Alexandria, Egypt. Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. Umiskal, the weight. Zuza, a small coin. The Gavia Galia. Gavia Galia is alum. A mineral. Next, umiska luwait, zuza, kurkumos, rishka, garden saffron. So that three ingredients together, these three ingredients are mixed together, velishka kinu behade hadade, they are ground together, and they are made, they, I guess they're soaked in liquid, and they make a potion. And this potion, what is it used for? Lazava. So here now, we have, remember, our Mishnah says that it's used for uroikin, for jaundice. But the Gemara here is telling us that it was also used for a woman who is a zav, a woman who is having a flow of blood. She is bleeding more than is natural. An unusual amount of blood is being released from her body. Sakana. Lezava tlasa bechamra. Three parts, three measures. Three tlasa. What's tlasa? Tlasa. What does it say here in the article? Three parts. All three ingredients are mixed with wine, plus all three ingredients become with wine. When you take all three ingredients, mix it with wine, you give it to the woman to drink, she will not become sterile. Okay, she will not suffer this harmful side effect. But let's say a person is suffering from yirokoin, he's suffering from this terrible disease called yirokoin jaundice, then train only two of the ingredients. Now which two? It means any two. You have a choice. There are three ingredients, alum, garden saffron, and gum. You need not use all three. You choose any two that you want. And you mix it not with wine, but you mix it bishikhra with beer. But unfortunately, there's going to be a very strong side effect that will cause, it's going to cause sterility. It's going to cause a person to become stale when he makes this potion, when he mixes two of the three ingredients with beer. Now there's another interpretation. Doesn't only mean over here brings down the art scroll, does not mean only the two of the three ingredients. Two and three refer to a number of cups. How many potions do you drink? Do you drink three cups or do you drink two cups? But you need all three ingredients. Alternatively, the very first number of cups that one takes from this potion, that is a zav, takes three cups. The person suffering from jaundice takes two cups. That's the Rambam in the Perish HaMishnayis. Not like Rashi here that says that the two and the three refers to, and that's not even Rashi. No, it is Rashi. It means two of the three cups. Okay, so this is two different opinions. Right in the Gemara, the loy miyakav lezav. Now the Gemara review is lezava talasa becham v'lim yakav v'loy. If not, leis. Now there's an alternative. If it's this not going to work, but if not, leise talasa kepize shimche parsoi. You take three kapize means cups. Kapize is a very large cup. It's machzik gimel lugim. Okay, it's machzik three lugim. Shimchei parsoi, shimchei are beets, bitzal, I'm sorry, onions, parsoi, Persian onions. The nishloik v'charmo, you shall cook it in wine, the nishkaya, and she shall drink it, the name Allah, and say to her when she drinks it, kumi zavech, you shall stand up from your zavech, from your flow of blood. So here the Gemara here is telling us an alternative potion or food. If a woman is suffering from a flow of blood, she does not have available for herself these three ingredients to make this potion. The alternative is she shall take three cups, three logim of Persian onions. She shall cook the Persian onions in wine, and she shall drink it, and someone shall say to her, "Kum, stand up, nizayvech." Right. We learn if not, live now, loisvaparashastrochem. A third refuah for the disease of flowing too much blood. She shall stand by the crossroads. The limkite kasa dechama biyada. She shall hold in her hand the cup of wine. The leis inshemiachora. A person shall come and stand from behind her. The live asa and shall scare her. The lay mulan shall say to her, Kumi Zavech, shall say to her, Kumi Zavech, arise from your illness of flowing of blood. We learn if not, lay say, Buna dechimona. If not, a fourth approach. Buna means a fistful of kanuba, of dechimona, of cumin. Cumin is a certain type of herb, right? Cumin, what's cumin? You know what cumin is? What? Spice. Ubuna and a fistful de moirika. Moirika is saffron. Ubuna and a fistful de shavlilta. Shavlilta is fenugreek. Vinish like the chamash shall mix these three ingredients in wine. Vinishkaya shall drink it. Vename Allah and Persian said, Rukum mizavech. Vila, the next best thing is, lay say, shisin shie didana. Six seals of clay that are used to seal barrels. They have special moist seals of clay they were used to put on a barrel to seal it, for l'shvaya, and she shall smear her body with this clay, for l'emula, and someone shall say to her, kum mizavech. We love the next best thing. Lay say, pashtida, she shall take pashtida. What is pashtida? This is an herb, a certain type of rare herb. Rashi says, pashtida, it's an herb that does not grow straight up. It only grows to the side. It grows horizontally, flat on the ground. For lishlik b'chama, you shall take this herb and you shall soak it, you shall cook it in wine. For lishvaya, she shall rub it on her body. The name Allah, kumi zayvech. If not, next remedy, leisei char noga dehigsa rumisa. Now what is this? Let's see Rashi. Rashi says this is charnois. Charnoiga is min esefu shegodal etzel hahigim, which grows near the thorns, a certain type of grass. Higsa deremisa, Persian. Min hago hu shenikres remisa, it's a certain type of thorn which is called remisa. Okay, it's not Roman. I told you it means Roman, but it's not Roman. That was just its name. Velikle velis. The lisba b'shachake, the kisna b'kaita, of a shachay the amar gufna b'sisva. She shall take this this grass of a romisa bush, burn it. Okay, first follicular, first the Gemara says burn it. Then what do you do with the ash? Lispa b'shache dechinta, you shall take its ash in linen rags in the summer. U'v'shachake de'amar, shache means rags, of amar gufna, katin, b'sisva, in the winter. Okay, so one more time. What do you do again one more time? The next best thing is, leisei charnuga dehiksa. Again, this type of grass, which grows near the hiksa rumisa, near the thorn of rumisa, velikle burn it, velispe take it, veshachke the kislin rags of linen bekaita in the summer, or veshachke the amar and rags of the amar gufn of katan the sisva, and she shall, what does she vilon if not, and then what does she do with this? And what does she do with this? So it doesn't say what she does with it. That I guess she should wear it. So it says here in the art school that she should wear it. Okay, next, viloy. And if not, the next best solution for this disease, okay, the disease that we're discussing is a woman who's there's flow of blood more than it's normal. Viloy, if not, lichre sheva bire, she shall dig 7 pits. Lichre is to dig 7 pits. Velikle behu shebishta yulada, and in these 7 pits that she digs, she shall burn a branch. Flickly means to burn. Shevista yelada de arla, a branch of yelda de arla, a young arla vine. Okay, so you take a branch of a tree that's the first 3 years, and you burn it in these pits. The limb. What?
What do you burn?
A branch, a twig from a tree, A branch from a new tree, a tree that's within 3 years, you cut off a branch from such a tree, you burn it in the pit. After she burns this branch in these seven branches in 7 pits, she shall stand, hold in her hand a cup of wine, and shall move the cup of wine, and stand. And keep on going from one pit to another pit. She shall go from one. She shall enter each one of these 7 pits. And she shall eat one, the chada. And as she goes from one to the other, each time she stands up, every time she goes from one pit to the other pit, someone shall say to Lemullah, person shall say to Kumi Zoidech. Okay, so it's the complicated before. She shall dig 7 pits. In each one of these pits, she shall burn a branch of an arla tree. And then she shall go and stand in each one of these pits. And as she leaves, she travels from pit to pit. Someone shall say to her, Kum, arise from your state of Zava, from your illness. Viloy, next. I think we have a copy. We're up to already 8 or 9. Viloy, and if not, another solution for this is Ziva. Lay say Semida. What is Semida? Semida is fine flour. Velischa mipalga litata, and she shall smear it mipalga litata from the lower portion of her body. The lower portion of the body shall smear her body with this fine flour. Velemola, and someone shall say to her, Kumi zoveich. Vilo, next refuah. Lay say biasa din amisa. Take the egg of an ostrich. Okay, biasa means an egg, din amisa of an ostrich. Vilikle, and she shall burn it. Velispa bishachke de kisna, and she shall collect it. She shall take hold of the thing we had before, take hold of the ash. In the summertime, bishachake, she shall take hold of the ash with garments, the kisna of linen, bekaita, with shachake, and worn out garments, damar gufn of katin besisva. And she shall wear these garments, and that will be a refuah for her illness. We learn next refuah. Liftach lachavis techarmel lishma. Go to the store and have them open up a new barrel of wine in her honor. Like a lachayim. Open up a new barrel of wine in her honor. Vilo, next refuah. If not, next best thing is linkot sa'arta dimishtachas bekafusa dechunda chivra. She shall take a barley grain. Okay, sa'arta means a barley. that's found in the dung of a white mule. Okay, so mules eat barley seeds, and the barley seeds are not always digested. So when you look in the dung, in the waste, the excrement of the white mules, you'll find the barley seed. So one more time, below, and if not, linko, you shall get a hold of sa'arta, a piece of barley, dimishtakachas, that's found, bikafusa de kundara, in the dung of the kundara, a mule chivra, a white mule. Now she shall hold on to this little barley seed. How long shall she hold on to it? If she can hold on to it continuously for 3 days, she's in good shape. But let's say she only holds on to the barley seed for 1 day. One day, then the flow of blood will stop for 2 days. If she holds on to the barley seed for 2 days, then the blood will stop flowing for 3 days. If she's able to hold on to the barley seed for 3 continuous days, she's cured. Then the blood will stop flowing forever. Okay, so that concludes this Shul Gemara. I did not count. I'm estimating there are about 10 remedies. Okay, 10 different remedies for a woman who is suffering from this illness called Zova, which obviously is related to a Zova, which means that her body is flowing with blood more than is normal, which is in an unhealthy way, and she wants to stop the blood from flowing. So we have about practically 10 different remedies. Obviously, these are Sisrei Torah, Kabbalistic Inyanim. We have no idea what these things are. You tell her, Kumi Zaveich, standing in a pit. We don't understand what this thing all means. But the reason why we got involved in this is because it all started out. The first remedy was she shall drink Kois Shel Ikorin. And Kois Shel Ikorin was mentioned in the Mishnah. And it says in the Mishnah that a person on Shabbos is not allowed to drink Kois Shel Ikorin. And the Mishnah says, why would you want to drink Kois Shel Ikorin? It's a refuah for Yeroiken. What's Yeroiken? Jaundice. What's jaundice is when there's some type of something is wrong with maybe the liver. It's not properly, it's the color of one's face. What? The what?
It's not cleaning the mouth.
It's not cleaning the blood, and the person's color, the color of his flesh, is not normal. He looks yellowish, greenish. There's an unpleasant color to his skin, and it was common to Hamechazal to drink this potion called Ikorin, which was a refuah. And we have 3 primary ingredients for this potion. We have gum, and we have alum, and we have garden saffron. 3 different ingredients, they were mixed together, and then the Gemara says that's good when you want to take it for the purpose of Yeroiken. But when you want it, but by the way, the Gemara says these 3 ingredients were also used as a refuah for this, the first of these 10 refuahs for the woman that's suffering from this disease called Zoiva. That's how we got involved in this sugya. Now, Liroikna train b'shichor. Now the Gemara is not finished yet. The Gemara is going for almost finished. Liroika train b'shichor. Now we're reviewing. If a person is suffering from this disease called Liroikna, that's a kosher likarin. So what is the solution? He shall take 2 of the 3 ingredients. There are 3 ingredients. There is the sap of the tree, this mineral called alum, and there is this herb called garden saffron. So you take these 3 ingredients, you mix them together, you grind them together, you mix them with either beer or with wine, depending on what you need to use, and it's going to bring refuah. So to be more precise, the Gemara is reviewing what we learned in the Braisa. Liroikna, train from the 3 ingredients. Pick any 2 that you want. Either take the sap with the alum, or take the alum with the garden saffron. Any 2 that you want, and mix, grind it up, and mix it together with b'shichra, with beer. But the Gemara says there's a side effect. The side effect is umi akar, the person will become sterile. He'll not be able to have children after he takes such a refuah potion. That's the potency of this medicine. The loin, if not. Now the Gemara is telling us another solution. Let's say he does not have available these ingredients. These 3 ingredients, he does not have available the beer. The lo, the next best thing is leise reisha de shibuta, the head of the shibuta, the milcha. Shibuta is a fish. Okay, shibut is a certain type of fish that's been salted. Take the head of a shibut, the milcha, that's been salted, and what do you do? The lishlik b'shichra, you shall cook it in beer. from the shtei, drink the beer, and that will also be refuah for you. We learn, if not, the next special thing is, let's say, monine de kamse. What is monine de kamse? The juice of a locust. Okay? Shiratzim. You take its juice and you drink it. Vilaka minuni de locusts, kosher. Okay, it's a kosher shirt. It's a kosher insect, and you take its juice and you drink it. Vileka monine dikam. So if you don't have these type of locusts, let's say monine dinakire. What is nakire? I don't know what it is. Another type of sherets. It's a bird. Here he says over there it's a bird. It's a certain type of bird. Rashi says it's a certain type of bird. Vilaile lebe bane, and then you shall take. The person, you take either one of these two ingredients, either the juice of locusts or the juice of a certain bird, and the person shall enter into the bathhouse where it's very hot. You need a lot of heat. And he shall smear the juice on his body. And that will be a refuah for the jaundice. There is no bathhouse in the city. The next best thing is just go to a place that's hot. Stand between the oven and the wall. There's a narrow space between the oven and the wall. So in that little cavity, it's very, very hot. And that heat will be sufficient to assist in bringing out the illness when you smear this ingredient on your flesh. If a person wants... A person wants to warm up the patient. He wants to make him hot. You shall take him with the patient's own kerchief. Let's see Rashi. You want to heat up this patient, this particular person that suffered from jaundice. Part of the refuah is he should be, his body temperature shall rise. You shall wrap him in his kerchief very well. In other words, don't take a blanket from the washing machine. The same garments which he is wearing somehow have the ability to heat him up more than if you would take another type of blanket, or take a blanket from another person that's suffering from the same illness. Somehow, person that suffered, the blanket that he's using or the garment that he's wearing, this person has the ability to heat him up to the right temperature that will assist in removing the illness. Rav Acha bar Yosef Choshpe, the Gemara is a Maishaya. Rav Acha bar Yosef Choshpe, he had this illness. He suffered from Uraikin. Rav Kahana, he did this potion we learned above. He did all these things that we learned above. One of these potions, the itas, and he was healed. He indeed was healed. I guess they took the juice of locust, or they took the juice of the bird, and they heat him up with this garment, and they smeared this juice on him in the bathhouse, and he was healed. The loin, if not, what's the next best thing? Lay say tulasa kapize tamre. Kapize is a cup. It's a loik. It's a cup that's the size of one log of tamri of dates, parsayasa, Persian dates. Utulasa kapize dikira, and three cups of dikira is wax. Dinish tarufe. Dinish tarufe is dripped from honeycomb. The nishtarufe means dripping wax. Don't take the wax out of the honeycomb itself. Take the wax that has dripped from the honeycomb. Utlosaka pise ohala tol ona. Ohala is alum. It's ale. I'm sorry, ale. I don't know how to pronounce it. Ale. Aloe. Aloe? Aloe, what is that? The mineral?
It's a plant.
Okay, it's red. You take ahala tol ona, tolas shani. Tolas shani in term means red. Red ahala, velish lekinu b'shichro, you shall cook it in beer. So three ingredients. Three cups of Persian dates, three cups of wax that is overflowing from honeycomb, and three cups of ahala tol ana. You shall cook it, b'shichro in beer, velishtei, the person shall drink it. Fine, that will be a refuah, another refuah for you. Vila, another refuah. Leisei ila, vila, leisei ila bar chamra. The next best thing is a baby donkey. Keila is the name of the baby of a chamra of a donkey. The liglach, and this is a very strange refuah. The liglach mitziyasa deresha. A person shall shave the middle of his head. I'm not exactly sure what's the middle. Somewhere on your head in the middle, you shall shave off all the hair. For lishbuk be dama me ufta. But whose head are we shaving? The donkey or the person? What does Rashi say? Rashi says, "Mitziyasa, mitziyasa, the person." And then you make a hole in the brain of the donkey, the baby donkey, and the blood will ooze out of the skull of the baby donkey. And you're going to take that blood and you're going to smear it on the head of the choyla where you shaved his head.
Good luck to you.
Sounds really gruesome, right?
How was it?
Okay, really gruesome.
Yeah.
One more time. Vilo, only a few more lines. Okay, just hold on. Only a few more lines, and we'll finish. The Eloi nifnat lefi Elo bar chamra, a baby donkey. V'liglach and you shall shave mitziyos adreisha. V'lishbek bei dama me ufse. You shall then remove blood from the forehead of the donkey. V'loitzareisha and you shall take that blood and put on this person's head. V'lizoher me ene. Be very careful that the blood of the baby donkey does not come in contact with the eyes of the person who is sick. The loyli same luhu, because the blood of the head, if that comes out of the head of the baby donkey, can cause blindness to the chayla. Next, we learn if that leisir reisha the barcha. And next thing is take the head of a barcha, the monach bekivsha. Okay, the next solution is take the head of a ram. Barcha means of a ram. Okay, that's a ram, an ayil, and that the monach bekivsha that has been pickled. You know, you shach the ram, and you take the head of the ram and you put it in salt. You put in some type of brine, some type of pickling agent, and you let it soak it. You soak it. What do you do it? The lish like b'shichra, take that head and cook that head of the ram in beer. The lishte, and then the chayla shall drink this potion. Next solution. V'ilon if not late, say dover acher, bring a dover acher. Chut, bring a pig. A dover acher is always a reference to a chazir. Okay, so we take a chazir, and then we take, that is, chutrona. Chutrona means speckled. Do you know that? Some pigs have speckles, have dots, have freckles. And some pigs are clean. So you take a pig, what?
I don't
raise pigs. So it says, to dover acher chutrona. A pig that's chutrona, the likre a, you shall rip it open, tear open the pig, the loisve aliba, and put the pig. Can you taking the pig that's speckled, you're cutting it open, and I guess the part that you cut open, I'm not sure which part you cut open, the loisve aliba, and you shall press it against the patient's heart. I guess on his skin, and that will be a refuah. V'loi, another refuah. Loisve karte mikaf tusa. Bring leek from mikaftusa de mishre, from the middle of the row. You go out into the field, and you have many rows of leek, a vegetable, and take leek from the middle of the row, and what do you do with it? So it seems that you eat it. You give it to the patient, and the patient eats this leek, and he will be healed from yoroikin. Gemara tells a story. Ahutaya. There was once an Arab, okay, an Arab that was suffering from this disease, the choshbei, that was suffering, omale liginai. And the Arab told his gardener, now it's not clear if he knew that what he was doing, it was just a mazel. He told the gardener, shkol glimai, go to take my garment, and go out into the field. Here's my garment. Here's my shirt. Here is my shirt. I want you to go to the garden, and I want you to pluck from the ground leek from the middle of the row. Shkol glimai, v'havli, give me mishra de karte. Give me a row. Go out into the field and go and pull out a row of the karte of the leek, and that and obviously the garment will then absorb the healing properties of the leek. Yohevle. They gave it to him, the achle, and the gardener gave it to him, and the taya, he ate it. Okay, then Omale, the Arab said to him, Oyushton Glimach, Vigani Bey, give me your clothing, give me your garment, and let me lie down in the garment. Vigani Bey, and I want to lie down. Now, whose the garment was this? What does Rashi say? Oshlok limech, hashileni hatalis. Give me the garment that you used to extract, to collect the leek from the field, give it to me. I want to lie down upon it. Vigani bay. Kale Khalil, a little bit. Let me lie down upon it a little bit. The Egne bay, I'll lie down at Khalil just for a few minutes. Ichrich gana. So what happened? He wrapped himself in ichrich. He wrapped up, so this tayah, this abu was sick. He wrapped himself up in the garment. Gana bay. He lie down in it. Kadi chameim. When his body heat rose, because it was hot, he was wrapped up in the garment, the core of the kum, and he stood up, nofal purta purta mine, the garment fell, broke into little teeny pieces. Yeah. Why did the garment break into little teeny pieces? Because the garment absorbed the illness. The garment extracted the choli that was in his body, and the garment now somehow had it, and the garment crumbled into teeny little pieces. Okay, do we know what this means? Obviously not. Look at Rashi.
Maybe you can be a doctor on this.
Let me sleep a little bit. He wrapped himself up in the garment. Rashi, nafal purta purta. It was burnt. The talis was burnt from the heat of the fire. Sheyotzim hazeya. When he was sleeping in this garment, the person's body was burning. I guess since this person ate the leek, so that caused his body to burn, and the poison was coming out of his skin, I guess. And being that the garment also was filled with this power, because it was used to collect the leek, the nafla chatichas takos, and the garment fell, crumbled into little teeny pieces. Okay, so that concludes all of the refuos. Even though we have no idea what this is all about, but learning the Gemara, it's a skula, or it's a bracha that we should not know, Rachman al-Islan, from any of these type of machalos.
By learning the Gemara.
What?
Because we learn.
When you learn the Gemara, Emunah Pshuta, that Chazal say that these refuos work, we don't understand what it means. There's a Seydus HaTorah in these Gemaras and Merames, very, very deep ideas. We do not know what it means, but at least we learn the Gemara. We should be aware of these things, and maybe one day we'll understand. They work during the Zman of the Gemara. In our days, does not work the Zman as out in the Shtana HaTeva. Well, the truth is, there are definitely things here in these Gemaras which doctors can tell us what they mean. I once had a Shia give a Shia that was a doctor. And many times you had a Gemara like this, and you explained to me that there's a lot of sense in what the Gemara means. Because you're dealing with these type of vegetables, they have certain types of properties. And this type of disease has this. And in today, modern science, they have the antibiotics. Are really accomplished the same thing what the Gemara is saying here. So there is definitely truth. There's a lot of depth in what these things mean. But of course, not everything in the world, because also Nishtana Teva, not necessarily Bizana Zed, do these vegetables and do these different things have the same properties, the same potency that they had in previous generations. And the diseases also today have taken on a new form because they adapt to the body. So we don't know if these things would work anyway, Bizman Hazeb. But definitely, besides the Pshut Shal Mikra, there's definitely Seyda Satara that lie in the Gemara, and we have to not joke about it and have Emunah Pshuta in what Chazal, every word that Chazal say. Okay, now we go back to a more run-of-the-mill type of Gemara, halacha Gemara. Liroikna train b'shichu miyach. We learn the Gemara that if a person, Rachman al-Tzan, sent from Yeroikin, so he's supposed to take these three ingredients. The garden saffron, the alum, and the gum. Grind them up, mix together, and cook it in, take two of the three ingredients, anything that you want, and cook it in beer. But the Gemara says, if a person does this, he makes use of the refuah, he's going to suffer a side effect. What's the side effect? Umiyakar. He'll become sterile. He'll not be able to have children. So the Gemara says, how can the Gemara give advice to a person to do this? It's also min haTorah. A person is not allowed to take a refuah that will cause himself to have a side effect of being ma'akar. Umi sharei v'atanya minayin l'seirus b'adam shu osur. It's forbidden. Tamul amar uva aritzchem lo sasu b'chem. It says concerning the animals that you're not allowed to take for a carbon. You're not allowed to be misorious an animal, and you're not allowed to take make for a carbon these type of animals. The pasuk concludes with Arzechem loy sasu bochem, loy sasu, Arzechem loy sasu, bochem loy sasu. Divrei Bechanina, he has a drasha that you're not allowed to do. Look at Rashi. Rashi says loy sasu, kori bay loy te osu. Don't read it sasu, but don't read it as the patach. Sa'asu, but read it se'osu, which means you may not do this to yourselves. It may not be done among yourselves. Bochem, lo se'osu bochem. So the Gemara's question over here is that how then are you allowed to do this? Divrei Bechanina. So the Gemara says, Hani nili hechad de komechavin. The Gemara says the only time they now do this to a person is having kavod to do it for that purpose. He wants to make himself into a saurus, but. But hacha me atzmahu over here, it's a davar she'enu mischavin. Over here, the person is deathly ill, and he needs to do this. So his kavan is to be healed from the illness, even though it's a side effect. So it's not technically also because it's not your kavana, it's not what your primary intent is. Hacha me atzmahu diyam rabbi yachanan harayt seshi saris tarnagol. For example, the person wants to cause a tarnagol to be a saris, cannot have children. Yitol karbalto, take off its crown. On the top of a rooster, there's a beautiful part of the rooster, it has colors, and you remove it's called the crown. Remove the crown of the rooster, and automatically it will be misare. So therefore it's indirect. Oh, but how are you allowed to do that? How are you allowed to go misare's atarnagol? You're not allowed to do this. Teretz says it's indirect. I am not mamish removing its reproductive organs. I am removing something on the tarnagol. Indirectly, it's going to cause it to become a saurus. So just like there, when you do it indirectly, you're not actually making contact with the reproductive organs. You're doing something else to the creature, and indirectly it becomes a saurus. That is mutter here as well. Your primary kavana is to heal the jaundice, even though it's indirectly going to have an effect on the person's reproductive organs. That is not iser deraisa. So the Gemara says, no, you cannot compare. When it comes to the tarnagol, the truth is you have done nothing. If the tarnagol really wants to have children, it can have children. The only reason why the tarnagol does that, it's not in the mood. You have not done anything physical to the tarnagol. You've taken away its gaiva. The crown of a tarnagol is its pride. When a chicken no longer has pride, it's just not interested in reproducing. But physically, if the tarnagol would want to reproduce, it can reproduce. So you can't compare this to the case of a human being where you're doing something to a person where physically they're no longer able to have children. The Amar Rav, Ashi Remus Ruchuhu Dinokilei, it's not so. You can't compare the case of tarnagol to the case of a human being. There, by the tarnagol, you only take away its gaiva. But really, you can have children. But by a human being, if you give him this potion, the person physically can no longer have children. So Gemara says, El Gemara says, you're right. The answer is, you're not allowed to give this refuah to a person at any time during the year, because it'll cause a kamasaris. This, that it says the bride sub, this refuah, the only one that's allowed to drink it is a person anyway is a saris. Anyway, he is in a situation where he cannot have children. El Basaris. The Gemara says it doesn't matter. Just because a person is a Saris, you're not allowed to do a further darga. You're not allowed to do it again. Even though at this moment in time, a person does seem to have children, you're not allowed to do something which will further his situation. For example, bar. There is no one that disagrees, even though there's machlokes when it comes to bukhar. Now, the Gemara is referring to the halacha of a bukhar. If you have a bukhar, the bukhar is a baal mum. Okay, the bukhar is a baal mum. Are you allowed to add another blemish to the bukhar? You're not allowed to inflict a wound in a firstborn bukhar. What happens if you have a bukhar, an animal that's a bukhar, and it already has a blemish? Are you allowed to add another blemish? I don't know, for whatever reason, maybe you want to identify it. So the way they identify animals, they go and they puncture, they go and they make a hole in the animal, they put a tag on the animal. And putting a tag on the animal causes it to have a blemish.
Before there's a blemish, you're supposed to bring it on the
to the carbon. Yes, it's supposed to as a carbon, it's supposed to go on the mizbech mamish.
So it's already been pulsed.
It's already pulsed for the carbon. So now the issue of here is, are you allowed to add once already has it's already blemished, it got to an accident, it hurt itself, it broke a bone, whatever the case is, and now once already has a blemish, let me add now another blemish.
So if there is a standard carbon, not a bukhar,
yes,
that also has
you can't bring it as a carbon.
You can't bring it a regular carbon. has some good soul in it. Can you put another mum in it? Because once it's already possible.
I don't know the answer. I hear your question. I do not know the answer. I'm saying it's only unique to a Bukhar, or does this apply to all Karbanos?
Right.
I do not know the answer. But at least by a Bukhar, there's a special prohibition of eating a blemish. The question over here is, are you allowed to eat another blemish? Already has a blemish. I want to eat another blemish. Oh, now I want to brand it. Can I do it? So the Gemara says, there's a machlokes. Some say yes, some say not. But even the lenient opinion that says that it's mutter will agree in the following cases that the following things are usher. Hakol moedim b'mechametz achar mechametz. When you make a mincha, there are three parts to the mincha. There is kneading the flour, there is arranging the flour into a shape, into a loaf of bread, and then there is putting the loaf into the oven. Three different stages of preparing bread. All of the menachos in the Beis HaMikdash were made matzah. Lo se'ofer chometz. The only exception, of course, is the Shtei HaLechem. But otherwise, all of the menachos are only made from matzah. Three different parts. Now here's the shah. Let's say you knead the dough and you make the dough into chometz. You let the dough rise and you knead flour and the flour is chometz. And so your person has violated the loisa sem min haTorah. Lo se'ofer chometz. And now, after it's been kneaded, you do the second. So along comes Shimon, and Shimon now arranges the dough into the shape of a loaf of bread. It's called the aricha, the arrangement. And then comes along Yehuda, and he puts this arrangement into the oven. All three individuals are chayiv malkis for preparing a mincha in a state of chametz. Why? But once the dough already turned into chametz with the first person, it's already chametz. So what more have you packed? Can you possibly done? That's what the Gemara here is coming to address. Even if you're going to tell me that once an animal develops a blemish, you're allowed to eat another blemish, everyone will agree that just because the flour is chametz, you're not allowed to do another step of chametz, of arranging the loaf of bread and putting it in the oven. Hakol moedim b'mechametz achar mechametz shul chayiv. Shenemar. We have two psukim. One pasuk says lo se'ofer chametz, v'lo se'oseh chametz. Why do we need two psukim? To tell you, even if you do another step in the process, you're going to be chayiv next. Now here's the part that we need for our Gemara. B'misores achar misores shu chayiv. Shenemar, it says in the Torah, u'ma'uch v'chasus v'nasuk v'charus. Now ma'uch v'chasus means cutting. Okay, Rashi says here, let's move this to the Gemara. These are different types of u'ma'uch v'chasus. There are four different ways a human being can be misores an animal. So we have the beitzim, and the beitzim are suspended by gidim in a pouch. So if a person would sever the gidim, automatically the animal is sterile. If you sever the gidim. Now there are two ways to sever the gidim. They can be severed with a utensil, a surgical utensil, a knife, or they can be severed with a person's hand. Then, there's another way to make the animal sterile, and that's by crushing the beitzim, destroying the beitzim. That can be done either biyad or bichli. Those are the four different words mentioned in the pasuk. There's ma'uch v'chasos. Ma'uch v'chasos means to crush. It means to destroy the beitzim. The nasuk v'charus means to sever the gidim. And the gidim can be severed either biyad or bichli. Now the question over here is, why does the Torah need to tell us all four? If the Torah would just tell us that it's aser to cut the gidim, the second two of the four, nasuk v'charus, cutting either biyad or bichli, we would automatically know a person would be chayiv for the more severe form called ma'uch and kasus. So why did the Torah have to go say all four? To teach you, there's a prohibition of serus achar serus. Even though the animal already is in a matzav of serus, it's forbidden to do a further degree of serus. That's why. Here's the Gemara. If a person is chayiv for cutting, means severing the gid, chayiv al nitok lekol shkin, which is a much more severe form of serus. Ella, the Gemara's answer is lehavi noisek achar koyres, to teach you a chiddush that even noisek achar koyres shu chayiv. To teach you a chiddush that so nasuk is teaching you. Detaching is even to teach you even in a higher level. In other words, okay, I don't know the exact details. Rashi says, "Koyres she'ena noiskan legamri elochaitchan utluin bekis noisake is complete severance." Okay, so koyres means they're still in the kiss, and noisake means they are completely removed from the body. So the pasuk is teaching, even though this animal already is in a matzav of koyres, if someone would come along and now do something else called noisek, which would mean to completely remove from the body, that he's chayiv aloisase. But why? Practically speaking, the animal already is in a full matzav of seiros. So what have you done practically? Nothing. Nevertheless, along comes as mechadish, yesh seiros achar seiros. And the same thing is true when it comes to the other two different madrigos of moch v'chasus, different degrees of crushing. So therefore, the Gemara is derived from this sugya. Just like by animals, we have this concept of yesh sheres achaseres. By human beings, we have the same exact concept of yesh sheres achaseres. So the Gemara's question is: we have here in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to take a refuah for yirah coin is koi shel ikarin. But be careful, koi shel ikarin has a side effect of seros. So the Gemara's kashrus, if it has a side effect of seros, then it's osir. So the Gemara says the person already is a soros. So what? Just because he's a Soros, it's still awesome to do another Maisa of Seiros because of this principle of Yesh, Seiros, Achar Seiros. Just like we have this idea of Lo Siyafi Chamit Seish Chimutz Achar Chimutz. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella Bezokain. You're right, we're dealing with a situation where a person already is an old person, he can no longer have children. He's not a Soros. There's a chiluk between a Soros and a Zokain. A Soros means where there's something physically has been done. A Zokain just means he's naturally old. So a Zokain, the Gemara is suggesting that a Zokain, there's no prohibition to take a Koshel Ikar into a Zokain because he's anyway, he's not, his Eivorim anyway do not function. The Gemara says it's not true. There's no such thing as a zokain not being possible to have children. There are certain refuos that are listed in the Sechta Gittin, which can cause a person who has a difficulty in this inyan to become healthy, needs a refuah. And the Gemara says that those refuos are so powerful, even a zokain can be revigorated into a state of a young person. So you see, there's no such thing as a zokain, and it doesn't make a difference. The Gemara says, you're right, Ella Beisha. We're dealing with giving this potion to a woman who's not mitzvah on Periya Urviya, Ella Beisha. The Gemara says that's not so simple. There are men, there are women, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroika, the Omar, Al Shneim Hu Oimer, Vayvarech, Oysem Elokim, Vayim Elokim, Peru Urvu, Michael and Neymar. Yes, because you're taking away the issue of Saris because you're taking away from yourself the ability to become the mitzvah Peru Urvu. Yes.
Was there a pasuk before that?
Right, so the Gemara is darshing. The Gemara again. Here, I hear your question. The Gemara is relating that prohibition of lo se ose, so drasha, lo sase, lo se ose bochem. It's interlinked with the mitzvah of pru revu. I hear. It's a very good point.
Okay.
Who says hayaluchot v'hayaluchot? The Gemara is saying. Seemingly, it's only a drasha. It's se ose. It's interlinked, so the person is not mitzvah pru revu. Meila, there's no prohibition. But it's not so posh because even today, for meila, who referred to an isha? But nisha is not mitzvah and pru revu. Otherwise, that's not true. According to Yochanan Breika, nashim also mitzvah on pru revu. So nisha also is not allowed to take the koyshal ikarin just to die on yourself. So the Gemara is finally comes to maskana. Michael Meimar, the Gemara says here is the final Gemara's maskana. Bizikena inami biakara. A woman who is a zakena is not like a man. A man, the Gemara says, can have children until the very, very end, until he dies. There's no such thing. Even a zakain, a person would take a kushli karin, he's doing a maisa seiros. But a woman, once she becomes a zakena, once she becomes 100 years old, a woman can no longer physically have children. Not like a man. The male is no longer a prohibition of taking the kushli karin because she's not doing anything to herself. The only time it's going to take the kushli karin is when you're doing something. something. You're making now a change. Until now, you can have children. And now, you can't have children. So by a man, that's true all the way until Mayav Yashem. Because a man, that's the mitzvah, the Gemara says, hey, nechzer l'na rusai. But an isha, that's not the mitzvah. An isha, once she gets to a certain age, the reproductive avarim are not functional. The male, there's no prohibition for an isha zikena from taking the kodesh shalikarin to bring about a refuah of yeirokin, or an akara, a woman that does not have the reproductive organs. She's an akara, so there is no prohibition.
Make it, then she's gonna have. Maybe.
Okay, so this concludes the sugya. This concludes this sugya of the refuah. Next, at least of the kodesh shalikarin. Next mishnah. Hachoyshesh bishinu. A person has pain in his teeth. So what do? Lo yigamabu chemesachemet. So the Mishnah says you shall not refuah of common refuah with vinegar. A vinegar wall, that was a common refuah to sip vinegar. Now you don't necessarily swallow. That will go into the Gemara. Sometimes you swallow it, sometimes you spit it out. You sip it and you gargle it and you spit it out. Sometimes you would swallow the vinegar. But the Gemara says the vinegar coming in contact with your teeth is a refuah. So is a person on Shabbos allowed to sip vinegar? Is it doing a l'shem refuah? Is it nikar lehegi? You're doing a l'shem refuah. If it is, it's also. If not. So the Mishnah says it's also. Anyone that observes you sipping vinegar on Shabbos obviously knows that you are suffering from pain in your teeth, and you're doing a l'shem refuah. And on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do anything l'shem refuah. Achoshesh b'shinav lo yiga mea bohem esachemis. You may not sip vinegar. Aval, what can you do? Metabel hu kedarkoi. You can take your bread, dip it in vinegar, and eat the bread. And the vinegar will make contact with your teeth, and you'll be healed. Because since healthy people do the same thing, it's not even though that's why you're doing it. Normally on Shabbos you don't eat vinegar. It's not your custom to dip your bread in vinegar. But go out, you'll discover 20% of the people, the population, that's what they do for Shabbos. They dip the bread in vinegar, even though you never did this. But you can do it since it's commonly done by other people. And even though you're doing the l'shem refuah, it's not nikor lehedya. You're doing the l'shem refuah. Mele falls in the middle. We've learned so many times. It's mutter. Avul bought me with Tabuku is Kadakabim Nishrapi. Next. Hachoshesh bimosnav. You have a pain in your hip. So what do? So lo yosach, so the common solution was to smear in your hip, muslim, your loins, your thighs, your legs,
okay,
the
no.
Upper part of your legs. Hachoshesh bimosnav lo yosach yayin. You are not allowed to smear yayin in chometz. That was commonly done for wine and vinegar. You smear it on your legs. Don't do this. Avul sachwes Hashem, but you are allowed to smear.
Does somebody do it?
The time of the Mishnah was very common, it seems. Today, the time of the Mishnah, what was the time of the Mishnah? You're going back almost 2,000 years. The Churban Bayis was only 1,900 and change. And the Mishnah was not written right at that time, it was a little bit later, so you're going back 1,800 years. 1700 years. So a long time ago, the world was very different. Even go back 50 years ago, you wouldn't recognize what people did 50 years ago.
So Kol Shekain,
you're not going to know what was going on almost 2000 years ago. So Sochu es Hashem, you've got to go smear your legs with oil. That was because why? Even healthy people smear their body with oil. That was done on Shabbos, so it's not nikkalei reform, it's mutter. But do not use rose oil, because rose oil is very expensive.
Vered
is a rose. It's very expensive. Therefore, everyone knows the reason why you're doing this, not because you're doing it just to smear your body with oil to clean yourself. You're doing it because of refuah. However, b'nei melachim, let's say you are part of royalty. You're from the aristocrats. You live in a very fancy house. Everyone knows that you're from the well-to-do people. Then you are allowed to smear with shemen vera, because even when you're not ill, it was common for very wealthy people, b'nei melachim, to smear their bodies with oil, vered. Now we have a beautiful word over here from Rishim. Even the poorest of the poor is allowed to smear with Shem and Veret, because every single on Shabbos, even because every single Yid is a Ben Melech. Even though you don't have the money now, and the money that it costs to buy Shemen Vered, you can buy a palace. But no, everyone is roi for Shemen Vered, so it's not Nikola Hedya L'Shem Refua. The Nela, it is Mutter. Ramile, I don't know. Ramile, we call it that.
Something Shemen Vered,
Al
Mikoseha.
Their wounds, yeah.
Is that Refua?
No, because it's not. Even if there wasn't a wound there, people, they smear their body with oil.
But we're saying that the reason.
No, it's not Nikola. Just because there happens to be a wound there, it's not Nikola. You're doing it for the wound.
You didn't say that if it's rope and it's wrapped in
the. The ratio you're dealing with teeth. Teeth is different. This, in every case, you cannot generalize when it comes to refuah. When it comes to oil, people would commonly smear their legs with oil. That was very common.
Okay,
even though you have a wound. So you have a wound. So the wound doesn't hurt you. Not every wound that you see hurts you. Fight. Rami Le Rav Acha, Rav Acha Aricha, that was his name. Who's Rav Acha Aricha? He was very tall. He was Oruch. He was a giant. He was 9 feet tall. Who is he? He is Rav Acha Bar Papa. You say this, Acha Bar Papa, Rav Bar Papa, Achoy Bar Papa. So here is Acha Bar Papa, Rav Lerbevo. So he asked Lerbevo. Tonight we're going to mention, you may not sip vinegar. Lememra, dechaymeitz mal l'shnayim, that vinegar is very good for the teeth. Oh, it says in the pasuk that kechaymeitz l'shnayim u'cha'osh le'nayim, the pasuk concludes, an otzel, a lazy person, is a danger to the mishaleach, just like vinegar is damaging to the teeth and smoke is damaging to the eyes. So the pasuk in Mishlei explicitly says that vinegar is not a good thing for the teeth. So we have a contradiction. Two different types of vinegar. There's vinegar which comes from the kiyu de pera, the unripened grapes. Unripened grapes, that type of vinegar is poisonous for the teeth. But vinegar that comes from wine is beneficial. They're both dealing with regular vinegar. If you have a maka, it heals. If you don't have a maka and you start taking vinegar, it's going to loosen your teeth.